Now I have to remember to do everything Kirk told me to do. He said, now, you need to turn this recorder on, push the shutter button. Okay. There we go. All right. Let me get myself organized. The scripture. Two scriptures, bookends for us. Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. And 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now I see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Let us pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Before I start, I want to tell you something that will preface the rest of the things we're going to hear. We're going to hear quite a few scriptures today, and I like to do that. You see, because I want to tell you that I have an absolute belief in the absolute authority of God's Word. The absolute, inerrant authority of God's Word. I believe it. That it's propositional truth, which means that it was inspired by the Holy Spirit word for word. That's propositional truth. I believe that. I believe that like Martin Luther. Martin Luther, in the 16th century, a great reformer of the church, and well, in fact, we all will have to credit him that we're here in Protestantism today because he was a key part in that. And what he said about this, he said, God's word is a powerful thing, and so we must distinguish between God's word and man's word. Man's word, he said, is a little sound that flies into the air and disappears. But God's word is greater than heaven and earth, even death and hell, because it forms part of the power of the living God and it endures everlastingly. Oh, I agree with Martin Luther. And then he went on to say this. He said, there is no greater miracle than the delivery unto us of this, God's word. He said, God's word is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. I am captive to the word of God. Martin Luther said that. I am captive to the word of God. And let me tell you, I stand with him. I am captive to the word of God. There's another great leader of the church that I respect and admire. And he said this very succinctly. His name was John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, the Methodist Societies. He said, oh, give me this book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be a man of one book. Let me be a man of one book. So I stand with John Wesley. I stand with Martin Luther. Now, I'm going to be reading scripture, and I'm going to read from the King James Version. I don't think it's more authentic than any other translation. I just like it. I was an English teacher, and my master's degree is in English literature. I love the sound of English literature. And I think that when you hear the King James Version, it's very lofty and majestic. I just like the sound of it. It's like hearing Shakespeare. I just love it. So, I'm not going to be reading it directly from my Bible because, you see, going back and forth, it's a little difficult, and I'm going to be a lot of scripture, and I can see this better than I can see this because I've printed this in 18 point, which means it's big. But I'm reading directly from the Bible. Those two verses are the bookends for what we're going to hear today. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. And for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. Petra. You ever heard of Petra? It's a Christian rock group. Yeah, I introduced Kirk to, you know, Kirk loves his Christian rock and roll, doesn't he? Because I introduced him to it. I took him to concerts of Randy Stonehill and Larry Norman, and he just loved it. And Petra, he likes them too. Well, this band, Petra, was formed back in 1972 in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And the name of the band comes from the Greek word for rock, massive. That's for Peter. You know? Now, this group won 4 Grammys and 10 Dove Awards. And in its 30-year career, Petra maintained its commitment to preaching the gospel through the music that it played. Of course, since it was Christian rock, not everyone appreciated the music. They were banned from some churches. But here are the lyrics to one of Petra's songs, and it's called Taste and See. If all you got is a fancy car and a precious diamond ring, when you stand before the Lord, will it really mean a thing? You've got to see how good your life can be. You've got to feel what's really, really real. How can you until you know? How can you know until you taste and see how good it is to be set free? Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's got milk and honey for you. Come and dine at the Master's table. He'll serve bread and wine to you. Well, you tasted this and you tasted that, but you still ain't satisfied. You'll never find any peace of mind in those empty things you've tried. Don't be afraid of tasting something new. Your soul is hungry. Nothing else will do. The bread of life will keep you satisfied. You won't go hungry or ever be denied. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's got milk and honey for you. Come and dine at the Master's table. He'll serve bread and wine to you. That's where I want to say. Oh, taste and see. Sharon and I do entertaining in Florida, and recently we were on the road returning from a performance, and we were nearing home, and we were listening to a radio station, 90.3. Station is owned and operated by the Landmark Baptist Church in Haines City. A massive church, has its own university. It's a big place. And the preacher, sometimes you'd hear him at night. And we'd have good gospel music, Southern gospel. I love that. But their preacher would come on once in a while. And, oh, good old boy preacher. I mean, he just told it like it was. And I'd love to hear him preach. And one night he was preaching this topic, A Taste of the Lord's Banquet. He said, a taste of the Lord's banquet is what you need. And these were the inspiration for this meditation. Now, you're not going to be hearing his sermon, but the concept of the Lord's banquet table, that was the inspiration for me. And now this pastor, I will tell you, he described an experience that he had had often as a child. He'd be there in the kitchen as his mother baked chocolate cake. And he watched as she frosted that cake with glistening, smooth frosting. And then, when she had finished, he was permitted to scrape some of that frosting out of the bowl with his finger and eat it. Anybody ever do that? Oh, you never had any frosting like that? Oh, it's good. It's good. Now, I'm what you might call a chocoholic. So when I heard him say those words, and I pictured my own boyhood experience, it made my throat tickle. Yes. Now, the best thing about it, he said, was that it gave him just a taste of what would be when he shared in the eating of the whole cake. Just that taste of the frosting, you see. It gave him a taste of what would be. If the frosting tasted that good, he knew how unbelievably good the cake would be. It would no longer be just a taste. It would be the whole thing. Yeah. Now, I'm sure we've had experiences like that. Those events with lots of excitement and those wonderful smells. Could be a family reunion. Those smells that permeate the house. The pumpkin pie, the roast turkey, the homemade bread. And we knew from just the smells how great that meal was going to be. Oh, but the Lord's table someday for all of us. There will be a feast beyond imaginings. From the 8th chapter of Matthew 11th verse, we read this. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now that's a place I want to go. We love celebrations on earth, don't we? Weddings, baptisms, birthdays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. They bring us joy. Sometimes sadness. For some, even depression. But our joy, you see, is just a taste of the things to come, and our tears shall someday be washed away. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Our celebration in heaven will be unlike anything we have ever seen or enjoyed. We get just a little taste in our earthly celebrations, but we do get a taste. But then we'll enjoy the whole thing, and there will be joy beyond what we can possibly imagine. Now, we've all experienced some worship services that have lifted us out of ourselves up to the throne of grace. There's probably been great music in such services. But friends, that's just a taste of what is to come. Revelation 5:13. Then I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all that is in them, singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." Every creature in heaven and on earth singing. Now, we've all experienced the healing that takes place when we forgive or have been forgiven. In fact, the Lord instructs us to say, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us." We know that there is release from guilt and renewed fellowship that follows forgiveness. But earthly forgiveness and its benefits are just a taste of the forgiveness that is affirmed for us at the throne of God Almighty. From Matthew 26, the 28th verse. "This is the blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." In Ephesians 1:7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." We will all experience what we have known, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And we have been forgiven. We have been cleansed. Every joy that we have felt here on earth will be multiplied in heaven. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the first verse. "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." And 2 Peter, the 3rd verse, 3rd chapter. "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." And Matthew 5:12, "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." And Philippians, the 3rd chapter, "But our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that is not to say we should be in a hurry about getting there. Now, I heard a story about an evangelist from down south, Brother Beasley. Brother Beasley had a 10 meeting. Anybody ever been to a 10 meeting? Oh, you've missed something. You've let a shelter go. But anyway, he was preaching about heaven. And he said, "Anybody want to go to heaven?" And everybody said, "Amen." Let me hear you.
Amen.
All right. He said it again. "Do you really want to go to heaven?"
Amen.
Well, now there was a moonshiner that had wandered into that service, sitting in the back, leaning out over the aisle, because he was out. He was gone. His name was Rupert. Rupert Swepson. And then the preacher said, "Brothers and sisters, y'all just got to wake up." And Rupert woke up. And right then the preacher said, "If you really want to go to heaven, stand up right where you are." And everybody stood up, except Rupert. The preacher saw him. He said, "Hey, boy back there, why aren't you standing? Don't you want to go to heaven?" "Yes, I do." "Well, then why ain't you standing?" "Well, I thought you was getting up to go right now." wasn't interested in that. Oh, yes. We do not need to be in a hurry because we can indeed taste heaven here on earth. Oh, we can taste it in the birth of a child, in the smile of a friend, in the embrace of a loved one, in the scent of spring rain, in the color of a field of wildflowers, standing on a mountaintop. For some of us, even in the taste of a Chicago-style hot dog at a baseball game. Oh, that's a little bit of heaven. Yeah. But in Revelation 21, we do look forward to something even greater. The new Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will enter, inherit all these blessings. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. You see, we have what is called in Scripture as the good hope. Not just hope, the good hope that we read about in 2 Thessalonians 16th verse. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Good hope through grace. Like the old hymn we say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so we have hope. Not some nebulous, unsubstantiated hope that things might get better by and by, but rather a glorious hope, the good hope that there will be a better tomorrow, there will be the joy of eternal life, there will be the joy of reuniting with our loved ones, there will be the joy of standing with those loved ones before the living Christ. We have said goodbye to some loved ones, haven't we? We all have. I like the way the Germans say goodbye. They say, auf Wiedersehen, auf Wiedersehen. It means, until we see each other again. That's how they say goodbye, until we see each other again. Well, we have said goodbye to some dear ones. But our good hope tells us that someday we will all together say that great cosmic hello. Hello. We have but a taste of what is to be. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Imagine, just imagine what the full experience of heaven will be like. Oh, it's a banquet at the Master's table that we do not want to miss. And he has given us an invitation to the celebration. Yes? Luke 11, 9 through 10. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. We just need to RSVP. I'll be there, Lord. I'll be there. And how do we say I'll be there? We say, I believe. Well, what about faith? Well, you see, think about it for a minute. The languages of the Bible are Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And in all three languages, the word belief is the same word as the word for faith. They're not different words. They're the same word. So belief, you see, contains both. And what does the Bible say in Acts 16:31? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's it. You see, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's belief and faith all in one. We like to create all of these avenues where you have to do this and do this and this, and then you have to answer this question. You have to go before the church. Well, you have to do all this stuff. You see, no, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are saved. But then in Matthew 18, the third verse, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. We could miss it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. Let this be our theme for the rest of 2009. Say it after me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.